Hello, this is Anahita Hangouts, episode 3. My name is Rustin Mayer, sitting here with Ash Sanyan. We are the Anahita co-founders and core development team. And we have three guests here with us. We have Bob Bloom from The Bob Bloom Show and your website. Now I need to practice your business name. Is SouthLaSalle.com? SouthLaSalle.com. And we have Zach and we have Bent from the Anahita tribes. We're going to answer some questions today and talk about social networking. How's everybody?
Hello, everybody. I'm real excited about today. After listening to the first two, I really feel like it's an awesome opportunity just to be able to talk to you guys and just to learn from the Anahita community.
Oh, sounds good. So let's start with answering questions. And I'm just going to start with a little introduction. When we're asking questions, let's start with how do I or what do I or something like that, and rather than a statement, because then we can quickly get to the point. And I would really appreciate it if you, because I'm very ADD, or even if you could type it in the chat ahead of time, it would be great too, because connection is not good sometimes, or so many different reasons, or my ADD kicks in, I may not understand the question. So I would really appreciate it for that cooperation. So let's start with questions. And Bob, you are first.
Yes, I'm not just of the Bob Bloom Show, but I'm also in the tribe, and SouthLaSalle.com/Anahita runs Anahita. So I have to put this in the in a question phrase.
Okay.
My opinion is I don't think you should just write for the Nuku server coming up. You should have a hook into Joomla 2.5.
Okay.
I think it's technically possible because there'll be the Nuku framework, and you're going to be syncing with that, which will be sort of the same as the Nuku server.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to have a distro. Actually, I want to have a distro that uses the Square One CMS.
Mm-hmm.
.com and Anahita and Tienda.
Okay. And I remember you mentioned in an email once that you would like to build a distro like that, which is basically, what is it, Square One CMS?
That's not mine. That's Jeremy Wilkins.
Okay. And I
also have a distro now of Tienda.
Okay.
Do you want to put it all together?
I briefly looked at the Square One CMS, and I believe, is it a distro with a stripped-down version of Joomla that acts more as a platform rather than the complete Joomla?
Right, I don't know exactly as a platform. It's just it has that component stripped away.
Okay.
Sort of how you have Anahita 1.5 distro.
Okay. Yeah, at this moment for the version 1.5. And you believe that we should stay with Joomla and not go with Nuku server yet?
No.
Or we should not do it at all?
No. You should be open to both because you'll be on Nuku server.
Okay.
But also to have a hook. I don't know. For instance, if you're going to get rid of the Joomla user ID, but that would be good to keep it in.
Is that the only issue or?
I don't know the technical issues. 2.5's not out.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at the 2.5. I don't know what they have.
Well, it's not even coming out till a month.
Oh, okay. So see the code. I don't know anything about JUser. I don't know if. JUser is one issue, but. I'm not really sure about the hook because there's the thing with the 1.6 is that we can only keep one distro, and it's not even a Nuku server distro, it's Anahita. And the problem is, have you seen the code in 1.6?
Not yet.
Okay. In 1.5, we had one component. In 1.6, we have 10 components by itself as natively. We split open the Com Social Engine, and it's now many components. And it no longer... We cannot, like, basically that is, so the cost of maintenance of basically keeping different distros, it will be, like, I don't think it's even maintainable at that point. So we pick one thing and just, which would be Anahita, and just keep using that. So I don't know anything about the user ID yet. I don't think we have any plans with the user ID. Did you want to add something to that?
Well, the concept of distro is also means that you have a base and you preload it with your own custom technology, and that becomes a distro. Anahita is not a distro. It started as a distro, but when you look at a distro, the underlying platform is the base, is the constant, and then you add your technology here. In Anahita is the constant, and Joomla or Nuku or anything else we add is a variable. We modify them to create a seamless Anahita experience. And why we do that is because eventually we like to have everything develop using native Anahita framework, but for the time being, we can develop, we can use existing parts from other technologies. And we gradually moving towards having a unified, standalone Anahita experience. An example was when WordPress, I believe they moved away from B2. And today, when you look at WordPress, I don't think even if it contains any B2 code anymore. It's completely a WordPress experience. So, and that gives us a lot of freedom, because then we no longer have to think CMS or think about accommodating CMS, Joomla, and Anahita. And what if I want to do this in Anahita, but I can't because I have to stay loyal to the CMS aspect of the system. And we don't want to do that. We want to have all the freedom to go and build the best social networking technology available. And the strategy is that rather than installing everything in one place, in one system, we build a technology that people install next to their CMS of the choice or e-commerce of the choice or whatever else technology of the choice, and then use social plugins to integrate to both. The same way that you integrate your CMS site or WordPress site with Facebook or Twitter, you can integrate with the Anahita social network.
Bob, let me ask you, how are you using the Tiendo and Anahita together, like your distro? What does it do?
No, they're not tied in yet.
Okay, what are your plan? How do you plan to, mm-hmm. Are you trying to make your social e-commerce, or is it just to, what do you have planned? Like your vision, like what do you have in, let's say, the ultimate thing that you could want to do with Tiendo and Anahita?
I want to experiment having a product in Anahita. Sort of the front end is Anahita. Also, sales support would be in Anahita instead of a separate forum.
Okay.
And all this would be better traceable if they wanted to Twitter or Facebook. I'm not used to being a guest.
I know.
Well, don't feel...
I asked the question.
How does it feel like to be on the other side of the table?
You know what? You don't have to feel like a guest. Just we are five people sitting here talking around the table. Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Because what you want to do is perfectly legitimate. Like,
I'll tell you, I want to do something else. So glad this is in the public domain. I want to add media. And I want to combine them.
Media? What do you mean by adding media?
So all this is all sort of on one platform.
Okay.
Somebody's on their iPad. They can sort of watch the the home shopping network for an online site that's selling stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And people can ask questions and interact and all that.
Well, that sounds nice.
It's actually similar to what CNN does with Facebook commenting, basically the social plugin that Facebook has, that you sort of says watch news, live news with your friends, that people keep commenting live. They actually have done that. As a means of social plugin. What I'm saying is that basically at the end of the day, I'm trying to figure out that if your distro, like, is it, like, what aspect are you using Anahita and what you're using Tienda, and whether do they necessarily have to be on the same system? Because it's, of course, it's the first, like, intuition says, oh, well, I want to have one system that has everything. But if they're not really working together, I don't think it's even a good idea to put them beside each other. But I think it's like, I think it's what should work better is the way to find them to integrate with each other, either through some kind of a like an actual hard like a hard integration, which is actually uses the PHP code, or a soft one that uses web services. For cases like Joomla and Nuku, they're easier to do it to a hard integration because we can say, okay, if they sit both on the same machine, we can do, this is called the old Joomla bridging or things like that. Basically, you use a hard integration that you use actually code to integrate them together. For example, you can integrate the commenting, live comment underneath each product. Or for people who have another system, let's say they have Spree. It's a Ruby on Rails e-commerce system that's actually apparently just won an award, the best e-commerce. So actually, if you want to look at that one as well, it's apparently been the most flexible e-commerce. So for people who you want to use Spree, what can they do? In those cases, we need to sort of provide soft integration that basically uses web services, even though they're on the same machine. But what I'm saying is that I think that is a better approach rather than having everything in one system, because the back end of the difference between Anahita and other like Joomla or even Nuku server is that the whole philosophy is different. The backend is used as the application environment. We don't do that in Anahita. The more we go on in the future, the less likely stuff happens in the backend. It's not the same. It's totally different. Like, and over time, whether we do it or not, the whole thing is going toward that way. The emphasis and everything. So
I think what Ash means there, just to clarify, is that in Anahita, the backend is mainly used for configuring the system. It's really for system administration. And other than that, a lot of the administration happens in the front because of the nature of social network. That first of all, a lot of administration is distributed in the community, and content creation is distributed in the community, versus in a traditional CMS, a lot of the content creation and managing menus and all of that happens in the back end. That's another shift. I think that's whole part of decentralizing the power. But the other part is that, like, even assuming we adopt the next release of Joomla, that's going to be maybe a month or two, and then after that we're going to go for Nuku. Nuku server is going to sometime soon stabilize, and let's say even in 3 months. So there's no point really dragging people, and it takes a lot of time to build a new integrated new technology, because what we have today is not Joomla anymore. We've changed it to the point. And we modified certain key points in it that it's no longer Joomla. It was derived from Joomla, but it's no longer there. And for the com user, we actually going to rewrite it, because the Joomla user management does not scale well. For if you want to run like people come and ask like, I want to have 500,000 users, we had a project that we. We had 1.3 million users. We had to modify the COM users for them to reach that speed. And Anahita was working nice and fast. Joomla User Manager was taking up to 20 seconds to load every 20 records. Versus the Anahita was loading in like 2 seconds or 3 seconds. So I'm just telling you the difference. And Joomla is really large. Like, even right now, you download version 1.7. It's very large. Today, a technology that have the same feature set doesn't have to be that large. But again, Joomla is now an independent project from Anahita. We are getting to the point we're comparing apples and oranges. For Anahita, we want to build something really light and fast. And when you download Anahita, the entire thing should be maybe 4 megabytes or 3.7 megabytes. Like, I downloaded Elk a while ago. It was 3.7 megabytes. And it's a social networking technology. It's 2-3 generations ahead of CMS. It does far more complex things. And it's half the size of Joomla 1.7. And for social networking, you need that kind of lightness. That is one reason that we just can't wait to move away from the CMS world and reach our full capacity and full potential. Did we answer your question, Bob?
I think I did a bad job of framing the question.
Oh, okay. What was the...
And I appreciate your comments. We should move on to the next one.
Okay.
Your other guests.
Well, how about that? After, if you have time, we get back to this topic, because I'm sure a lot of other people have that. And one more thing I'm going to add. It's an open source project. Feel free to take anything out of Anahita and try to build your own distro and ask questions. We do our best to answer, even though it's not something we officially support. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't try. And, Zach, you're next.
Okay. Again, I just want to thank you guys for taking the time.
You're most welcome.
To meet with the users. And really, I think I'm probably representing a large group of hackerpreneurs, as you like to say.
Nice.
I'm not a coder by any means.
Okay.
But I've got interest and definitely I have a passion. I've got an idea for a social community, and I think it's a good idea. And really started out just doing the basic Google search just to see what was out there, what was available.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, really started to see Anahita's name come up time and time again. But really wanted to know from you guys, what's the reason to use Anahita versus some of the others that are out there? You mentioned Elm. Like
Jom
Social, Social Engine. Can you talk about that a little bit? Then I may have a follow-up question as well.
Oh, the question. For a long time, we avoided that answer to answer that because something I learned from all the inquiries that we were getting from people, everyone had their own unique reasons. That was different from our reasons. And so we learned that everyone joins in for their own reasons, and they tried other technologies. We were especially interested in people who tried every other technology. If they hadn't, I would have actually emailed them a list. I have compiled a list of all the other technologies, and I told people, if you're unsure, go try all of this, and then if they didn't work out, come back. The reason for that is that we wanted to have people who are determined with their decision. We wanted to see the Anahita place with the people who are damn serious about the commitment, because this is not an impulse purchase. This is a relationship. You become part of a family, and there's no point somebody pays in and say, oh, I don't want it, and leave. That's not the kind of relationship we want. But today... let me tell you why we started Anahita. 3 years, Ash and I had so many business ideas. We wanted to start them as startups, and none of the existing technologies did the work. The problem they had was a lot of them were the products built based on the gold rush of the Facebook and Facebook success, Twitter success. So all these other projects started building Facebook out-of-the-box products, and they were stuffed with features, no architecture underneath. And they only did one configuration of Facebook. There were not social networks underneath. And we decided eventually to build our own platform and framework. It initially started as a Joomla extension. And then we gradually, as we moved forward and we became more confident and the power of the system, we realized that, we can do a lot. So we're now heading towards becoming a standalone technology. One of the significant things about Anahita is that it is probably the only true implementation of Node Graph Story Architecture. And the Node Graph Story Architecture is not just one of the ways to build social networks. It is the very structure of a social network. You've probably seen pictures of social graphs that people post. There are dots, the relationships are maintained by graphs, and stories propagate in that network. Everything and everybody are nodes, the relationships are maintained by graphs, and stories are exchanged through that graph. That's the architecture of internet, but at the more primitive level. We have the routers and the packets, there are the stories that go around in the connected network of computers. Social networking is a more abstract layer on top of internet that exchanges messages of people, rather than messages between computers. So we build it, and interesting enough, two years ago, we built everything using the old-fashioned way, you know, rows and tables and MVC framework, and like everybody else, so we build people, we build private messaging, we were building features. The only difference was we built it using Nuku, so they were very nice and compact and small. We realized we got it all wrong. We were building yet another feature product. So we threw our code out, and we started building in Node Graph Story. It was a scary moment. We built it in, it was done for the first time, so we had to learn so many things, extracted from theory and all of that, and eventually we built it. We were the first implementation. What's beautiful about this model is that you throw any problems, and it handles a lot of the complex scenarios that happens in a social network in a very simple fashion. Instead of constructing queries that they're like 20 lines long, there is an example on the blog, you type one line of code in Anahita and it takes care of it. That is one major reason that a lot of people are attracted to Anahita, because they can build their ideas. And Anahita is becoming, right now, has a framework specifically building for social apps. It has a platform for hosting them, which is why we came up with the three terms. She's RAD, SASE, and social. Rapid Application Development Framework, a great solution for building software as service, and it's specialized for building social networking services.
Rastin, if I could just chime in with what you said as well. Again, coming in with very little skill set from a development standpoint, I just would just mention I'm still early, mm-hmm. but you know, it was very easy for me to go through, download, and locally be able to build my community. And I'm not hosting it yet; still figuring it out. But really, just using a lot of the discussions that are on the Anahitaopolis site has really helped me to be able to get it started. And I'm lurking around and learning things. But what would be some of the key skill sets that would be useful? I guess I would say I'm doing it with very little knowledge. I'm building it as I go, basically from the different members of the community. But what are some things that are useful?
Well, I think you should have a talk with Scott. Scott, actually, he, based on what he said, he didn't have that much of skill, but he just basically worked his way around. I think, you have to be familiar with PHP. That's the base. But also just familiar yourself with the way the apps are built, the architecture of Anahita. The rest of it are basically, they're more like sidelines in skills. Like, yes, knowing less CSS would help. Well, first of all, less CSS is no different than CSS. It's just when you look, it uses the same syntax as CSS, but when it gets converted to CSS, it does a lot of job for you automatically. So, you know, as for MooTools and jQuery, well, learning JavaScript is always good, because anything you do in the front end requires JavaScript development. But they shouldn't matter as much as if you basically know how to do some PHP coding, because that's basically basic syntax of PHP, and also understand the architecture of Anahita apps. Once you have those two, you pretty much can get learn the other ones on the way of basically exploring the architecture. I know Andy, for example, he just knew about PHP. He learned the architecture of Anahita, and now he's not developing apps, of course, but he's done a lot of job, like customization on his site. So, you don't need to know much. So,
we didn't reinvent the wheel. Everything that Anahita is built on is what you learn in a computer science program. It has object oriented programming. You learn about model view controller, MVC design. So if you've done programming in Cake PHP or in iPhone or in Ruby on Rails or even Joomla or Nuku, you're familiar with the concept. One major difference between Anahita and Nuku is that we don't use Nuku's MVC. We use Anahita's MVC, because Anahita follows what we call a domain-driven approach. And also a developer who's familiar with design patterns, software design patterns. And anybody who knows those, they can pick up an AITA framework very quickly. For templating and customization, you can, right now for 1.7, 1.6 and 1.7, we are using less CSS technology. We used Twitter Bootstrap library for all the UIs. And for the templating, right now we are using the Gantry framework. And eventually we're going to have our own templating framework, because we use really 20 or 10% of Gantry. There is no point carrying around that 80% which is not being used. But for the time being, Gantry is doing a good job. So anyone coming from Joomla, Drupal, or Nuku background and they're familiar with building extensions, they can get started. And on AITA, the good thing is you write way less code. And also, you learn how to build everything only out of three elements, which is nodes, graphs, and stories. Or a lot of times, actually, two elements, nodes and graphs. Stories are taken care of most of the time by AITA. And it's a new way of thinking when it gets to software development, rather than before everyone thinks about rows and tables all the time. But that's the skill set you need to look for.
Okay, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Did we answer your question?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. All right, Ben, I had no idea you're joining us today, and we are so happy to have you. Did you have a question?
Yeah. Yes, I have a question, maybe even two, if I'm quick and short. It is, the first one is, what I could read, Andy was writing about the other day, he mentioned something that he used his AITA site and actually made kind of circles. And was circling, participants were circling up to other sites and projects. And that reminds me about what you have been talking about, this distributed network, and I just wanted to, maybe you could tell a little bit more about it, on what approach we should have when we start up now. And the second one was to connect it up to what Ash was writing here on the chat, because I was asking about if it could maybe if you look into Drupal instead of as a CMS instead of Joomla. There are some other possibilities with the multi-site function today, and so maybe what I really would like to do is maybe skip the whole Joomla thing and think towards Drupal and try to make this plugin connection with AITA at Drupal instead.
Well, as long as you use, like when you install a copy of AITA, and you should be able to integrate AITA with any other technology installed on the same server or another one. It's just a matter of what you're trying to achieve. I think the conversation, the topic that Bob tackled and a lot of other people is about what's using to package AITA. But if you like to have a CMS-powered site next to your AITA site, you can use any CMS you like, including Drupal. But the concept of building circles, forgive my ignorance, I don't recall a topic. Could you update me on that? Or Ash, have you seen that topic? Or Bent, yeah, can you tell me a little?
No, I thought you asked me. You see, I was trying to find it, but I couldn't find it.
Oh, I see. So he successfully built something like the Google Plus circles in AITA, or he experimented with it?
I think he used it more as an example, as a principle, but I couldn't understand it this was not circle like in G+, but they were interacting with other groups, and it reminded me about what you mentioned, like the. These distributed networks.
Yes.
Do you mean, are you talking about how some, so for example, you want to take Anahita and embed it within a Drupal? Is that what you meant?
No. That is a different thing. What I really mean is, let us take the example. Last hangout, you mentioned start with let us take a small local club of sport club or something.
Okay.
And if we use this as an example, then I'm thinking, okay, you have maybe two clubs, maybe in your area you have 5 or 10 clubs, maybe you have also a group of professionals that could work as consultants. Instead of having them all in one setup, does it make sense to split it up in two or maybe three and try to connect them together? This is what I mean.
I see what you mean. So basically multiple social networks that you connect them together.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And when you say connect them together, what do you mean? I mean, do you mean the people, members of one network can communicate with the members of the other network?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
That is called distributed social network. So far, that is something, yes, we have in mind sometime in the future. So far, only technology which have done the actual, what you just explained, and done a really good job of it, is Diaspora. So the purpose is, the idea behind that is that you have your network, I have my network, and I basically can send you a message on a different network. It's sort of like a Skype for social networking. It's distributed in a sense that there is no central social network. Basically, there's one social network where the members can connect with the members of the other social network.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably what you're looking after. As for Anahita, yes, that is, they don't, Diaspora, what they've done is that it's not a Diaspora technology. It's actually, it's a web technology that they use. I don't know the name right now. I'll look it up. But basically, there are existing technologies or principle or patterns that allows distributed communication. They have implemented that as part of their system, and this is something we actually like to do. It's a public protocol basically, and it's something we like to do in the future for Anahita. Something very similar to that, that allows you to have multiple networks. It's not a multi-site in the sense of multi-content management sites. It's a different story. It's a multiple networks connects using your web protocols together.
It can or cannot be installed or run on a multi-site too, because multi-site is multiple clones, not clones, multiple social networks that are pretty much like individual social networks. They may or may not be connected to each other.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that it has nothing to do with the act of being multi-site. Yes, of course, if you have on the same machine, you might as well use it. But it's not. Let's not confuse the multi-site with the distributed social network. They're just different ideas. The idea of a multi-site, it's basically, the whole idea of a multi-site is that you have many different sites. You can use the same base code to manage to power all of the sites rather than having
multiple
one base code for each one of them. It's just for maintenance that's a lot easier and management of the sites. But the distributed social network is just, whether it's part of a multi-site system or it's not, it could be my site, and let's say we have a site, and let's say Bob has another site, and they can communicate together, or you have a site, and three of them on different machines can communicate with each other.
Distributed is really about different social networks owned by completely different governance. They open up and they communicate. And the other thing is, Ash and I discussed, there are two different ways to do distributed main ways that we found that we can build distributed networks. One is you do everything in one plane of existence, similar to Diaspora, that I initiate social graph with someone on my network, or initiate social graph with someone on Bob Bloom's network. But the nature of connection is more or less the same. It's the same type of social graph, except that one person resides on this machine, and the other one resides in a separate installation. The other way is an existing building a distributed network on two planes of existence. And I give you an example is that you have a social network filled with people, they're exchanging stories, and that the whole social network, you can treat it as one node. And the output is stories that come out of the entire social network, you can treat it as one story feed. And then you build another network of social networks that they initiate, lead, follow relationship and exchange stories. Give you an example, human society can be considered a distributed network of brain cells. But the connection that two brain cells have in one brain is not the same as the connection two individuals have. When I have my brain, some of my brain cells have information about Ash. And in Ash's brain, some of his brain cells have information about me. And that's how that's the social graph between us, which is different between the synapses between two of my brain cells in my head. So that's the biology analogy. So that's another way to build a distributed social network. In nature, actually, more intelligent systems work that way. But in nature, we also have systems that are in one plane of existence. And that's what Diaspora has developed. And both ways possible. And you might even build both. It's a fascinating topic for me. But multi-site may or may not be used in that context. Did we answer your question?
Yes, it is just the last practical part of it, because the only thing I will use here and now in this, now when I start up, is how much to divide it. So the only choice is if I'm collecting everybody in one distribution and divide it in groups, or
yeah,
I split it up in different. Do you see what I mean? This
yeah.
this is my choice,
yeah.
And this is why I'm interested, even if it's even if I know it is in the future.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the question is that the context of the network, if because as again Rustin explained, is why is it that you want to make it distributed? I mean, is the context also different? That does it have to be? Are they? Is the DNA of one network different than the DNA of the other network?
This can be students in one and professionals in another. For example.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's
yeah.
Okay, so it's two different networks about different purposes, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, then yes, you can start with two different networks.
Yeah, and that makes sense because, I mean, there are many reasons you want to have a distributed network. One is building a federated system and that one person doesn't own the entire network. That's one reason or different people build networks and then they also want to connect to other networks, which is a very natural thing to do. We build tribes and cities and countries and then we want to do trade with other countries. I guess the example you mentioned makes perfect sense. I think that you mentioned about circles. That is really not a distributed network in a sense of distributed social networks, but it's because I look at Path, I've just started using Path, and it's a social networking mobile app. It allows you to have maximum 150 people in your social graph. And why? Because 150 people, apparently, that's the number of names you can memorize in your brain. That's the number of people I can remember their names in my brain. As a network as a whole, my friends can have 150 people, but imagine everyone reached the capacity of 150, and all these social graphs, they overlap just a little bit. And that's how the entire social network is built. In the social network theory, we call that an aristocratic network or a small world network, which means a cluster of densely connected nodes, like a social circle of golfers or a sports team or a business community in a town. That becomes like the Silicon Valley investors, for example. That's called an aristocratic network. You can actually look it up on Wikipedia, that they talk about different topology, like different ways that nodes connected to each other. And there are different names for them.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. So now we have maybe, okay, we started a bit late, so we have about 15 minutes, and we can go back to Bob Bloom, because the topic Bob is speaking is an important topic. Everyone, once in a while, it comes up in Anahitopolis. And Bob, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome. So let's talk about distros.
Oh, gee, what do you want to talk about?
I don't know, because I feel like I still haven't answered your question. If you wanted to...
I think I have to do a prototype.
Okay.
And make mistakes and go on Anahitopolis, which I can never pronounce, and ask some questions.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
the front-end backend that I was referring to wasn't the Joomla backend at all, so...
Oh, okay.
We're getting mixed up in some terminology.
I guess we went on why we didn't pick Joomla as and we are sort of moving away. And
Joomla has a platform which I haven't fully grasped yet, so
yeah.
That'll probably have something to do with it in the future too.
Yeah, I mean, Joomla does have platform aspects to it. That is why people building extensions, but there's a limit to it. It still enforces the CMS mentality. For example, the modules, they still follow the item ID. I would have rather if they followed the pattern of options and views and layouts and unique node URLs, things like that. There's so many little things about it.
You build components for Joomla, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And have you, for your distro, are you you said, are you doing anything customization, or is it just you're just combining and then releasing it?
Right now, well, it's open for people in the club. The distro is really just for Tienda.
Okay.
Just take it Tienda completely, because Tienda is not at version 1 yet. I really don't want to deviate.
I actually use Tienda.
Yes, I actually don't want to deviate from it.
Mm-hmm.
But I added live update to it and a few other toys.
Right. Okay.
So.
Well, once Tienda, I've heard that they're moving toward using Nuku, correct?
No.
They're not? Oh,
no.
That's a shame. Well, I tell you something, because the good thing about Nuku, which is, again, as Rasi mentioned, there are two layers of Nuku framework. There is the layer which is called the generic implementation of software. There's nothing special. There's nothing specific. Sorry, not everything special. There's nothing specific. And there's the MVC layer, which is basically how you build your apps. We're using the bottom layer. Basically, they've done a great job of implementing design patterns. One of the best thing they've done is that make the PHP language dynamic, which is not. You can redefine classes, map classes, different classes. Why is that important? Well, you can actually change the behavior of a software without actually hacking it. I wish Tienda did went and use the Nuku, because that would allow you to be... the whole idea of making a distro, I'm actually really, encourage people to change what Anahita does. Take it, change it, mix it with other things, do whatever you want to do. You know what, Hex, go ahead and put Anahita, combine it with WordPress, however you want. But building maintenance, when you use, so let's say, if it's built based on the Nuku, if it's based on Nuku, the fun part about it is that it can actually change the behavior of a system using your own plugins externally without hacking it. So, I guess Tienda is not using it, so it doesn't really make a difference at this point, but you can do that for Anahita. That means if you mix Anahita with anything, and you can go ahead and ask those questions, Andy has done so many different changes to Anahita, and I mean, I don't necessarily agree with all the things, but I tell him how to do it, and I'm really proud of people doing it, because that's what I do. I mean, I'm the guy who goes change things, so I love doing that. I love to see how far I can go, tweak a system as much as I can to make it do what I want to do. Not necessarily becomes the best system, but I just do it for the sake of,
that's what hackers do.
Curiosity. Yeah.
I feel a little defensive about Tienda not being in Nuku. Tienda's been out for about 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it just wasn't right,
no.
At the time. And now with the new release cycle of Nuku, mean, I can do things with Tienda that don't really touch the core, you know, and do them in Nuku if I want.
Yeah.
Because if the Nuku framework goes in Joomla.
Okay, sorry, I don't necessarily mean it has to, okay, let me tell you.
Someone's going to get on my case if I...
It's not necessarily about using, it's not about using a Nuku part of it. It's only the aspect of it that allows you to map classes to do different things, changing the internal behavior of a software. That's the only part. Other than that, I think people should be open to build the software in any way they're more comfortable with. Nothing is more superior than the others if you're not comfortable with it. The only reason
I've tried programming in Nuku. I've got a blog post about it. I did a podcast about it. So when it goes into the new release cycle, I'm excited to give it a go.
Yeah.
So I figure by maybe June, sure. March to June would be a good time to get back into Nuku.
Yeah. So the only thing that I'm talking about the Nuku that makes it special is the aspect. It's called basically using the identifier approach, which is, these are really technical issues, but these are the only aspect, because I'm coming from a Ruby background. In Ruby, you can do pretty much anything you want to do. You can change anything. Like, it doesn't matter. You can do that with the PHP language, and that's one of the challenges when you use a software that you want to customize, and you always end up hacking a core. That's so common. That's the only aspect that I was talking about, and fortunately for Anita, that's not the case. You can do that. So that's a good plus. But other than that, you just have to basically go through the code, ask us questions, and say, how do I do this, how do I do that? And I'll be more than happy to point you in the right direction.
When Anihita 1.7 comes out, that's what I'm thinking about, trying to put this together in a prototype.
I think you can start prototyping it right now.
I should try it now?
Yes. It's fun. Well, it won't make a difference, because when you do a prototype, the native structures has been more or less the same, the ideology and everything. The classes have become more optimized. But everything else, the difference between 1.5 and 1.7 is not, the philosophy hasn't changed. So what you have done for 1.5 can be easily translated to 1.7 or 1.6.
For you.
Well, of course, it's easier for us, but also from what I've learned, from what we've seen, the code structure hasn't changed. It's just we took out code. More stuff happens in the default way, so that's easier for building apps, basically. The whole idea of a convention over configuration, that's basically it. So, but the structure of the app hasn't really changed. It still does the same thing as it does in 1.5. So if you get a chance, go ahead and start breaking the code.
Start breaking the code. That'll be my New Year's resolution.
I hope so. Yeah, because to be honest, it helps us a lot, because we find bugs, we find new ways of doing things. We don't know everything. There's so many things we don't know, and people find it. Scott found this. He was trying to figure something out, and he come across this huge bug that we had no idea, and then we fixed it. So, or doing things in a new way, start breaking the code. So
probably in late January, I'll start to get into it, because there's other things I want to do with my Anihita site.
Yeah.
I would encourage people to even build a Joomla distro if you want, or build it. The thing is, for us as a project, we can't afford to manage several distros. Or we want to focus on building one experience, one user experience, one solution. But the beauty of open source is that people can take it apart and reuse it the same way that we do that to other projects. and be ruthless.
Because as Rasen said, we are ruthless to everyone else. You should be the same.
Yeah, you build your own domain, and you're building something for yourself, and can take and use whatever. Because anytime we use a new technology, incorporate a new technology in Anahita, we only take what we need, and we feel free to change it. In 1.6, we took in Bootstrap, Twitter Bootstrap library, but I changed it to become more Anahita friendly. because their approach was not something that we wanted necessarily. So I had to change so many aspects of it. And for JavaScript or for the Nuku that we used, or Joomla, that's just what we do. So if you want to, the only thing about a distro, building a distro, is it's a lot of work to maintain. It's a lot of responsibility. And I believe Zach had another question, which will be the last question of today. He was asking about, Zach, are you there?
Yeah.
You can ask it yourself.
Okay. Yeah, so I feel like the podcast, one, is really going well, and it's at kind of a college graduate level, and I'm going to take it back down to a preschool level.
Oh,
but, but I think that's okay. There may be some other listeners out there that want to know. I am currently just working locally on my own box and learning Anahita and realizing that I can get started quickly,
mm-hmm.
and taking the lean startup philosophy, which is kind of a big buzz right now.
Beautiful. That's the best way. Yeah.
And then iterate as I go and as I get feedback.
Yeah.
And so with that, I'm getting real close to going to host my site.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen out there, you know, there's $2 hosting a month and a lot of other options, but I didn't know with social sites, are there some other requirements I need to look out for? And do you guys have any hosting recommendations?
It's like anything else, like $2 hosting, you really get what $2 hosting.
Yeah.
And a social networking site that is a software that requires many users. Basically, you know, so the more you go on using a community, the more people join your community, the more concurrent user you have. So you have to have a better hosting. We use Rackspace. Rackspace is basically, it's not a really hosting, it's just it's a cloud computing. They give you a server, you have to install basically your software and everything, your actual web server, your caching, your memory. You do all these things yourself. You have to become your own server administrator. So it requires some kind of you have to have some server knowledge to do that. Some people in our community, I think like Magnus, he learned because he wanted to do it himself, so he learned and did it. And the good thing about the cloud computing is that over time you can change it. For example, you can start with a minimum server. I think it's about 256 megabyte RAM, some hard drive space. We use Amazon, so you don't need to have that much space, and it's only costs about $20 a month. And then you can just increase the memory and everything over time, and it just adds to the existing system. So it's really flexible. Having said that, it does require some knowledge. Other than that, I think Roshan is a good server to get started. I think we used them in the before, and they're not. It's not cloud. It's not flexible. That means, but it's very good. They have a good service. They have a good customer service. Their servers are pretty good. I think I'm gonna look for more out of the box servers that offers cloud. So it doesn't require that much maintenance. But in general, the better the server is, the more you get out of it in the long run, especially for social networks.
Right now, we are using we actually had to upgrade lately, but we are still using a fairly basic package from Rackspace. We're using Amazon S3 for our storage. Both of them are quite very inexpensive and great for startups, but yes, you have to set up your server yourself. But if you want to get a similar package from a hosting company, it's going to cost you more. It goes way above $100-$200 a month. So the Rackspace is a really good value, and Roshan is a company that is a more traditional hosting company, but they have a good history and roots in the open source world. Their servers are really optimized to run open source code like WordPress, Joomla, Drupal, and all of those. And they have really good customer service, and their prices are really good too. So we've seen people who successfully install an 800 server, and they seem happy. That's another option to go.
I put two more links for you. One is called PHP Cloud, one PHP Fog. They're sort of like, they basically offer cloud, but it's more out of a box for PHP, and I haven't used them. by what I see, it's what I've heard is that they've done a good job. So you can give them a try as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We had Dale and Magnus, and I believe who else? Was James there too? And we had a few people who read the instruction. We have a group specifically for setting up servers on Aetopolis. They actually learned and they did their own servers. So it's a good skill to learn in your team. And I think if people can write apps for Anahita, they can learn how to set up a server too. It's a good knowledge to have these days.
Okay.
So give it a try. It's a very good value, what they have.
And then I don't know if you mentioned it in the last podcast or if I saw it on the boards.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere I saw you mentioned always having a dev site.
Yes.
Development site.
Yeah. We usually three. One is development is the one that you're actually coding on. The other one is a staging, which is a clone of your live site. But it's not accessible to public. And then you have a live site. Development is where you build things. It could be even on your laptop. The staging is usually on the server, on the same server or another server, but it has more or less pretty much identical setups as your live site. And especially if you have done custom apps or custom templates, anytime that we release an update, you want to test it on your staging copy of the site and test it and make sure everything works. And then you develop a strategy right there and say, okay, I applied this update and I had to do this and that before the site worked fine. Or sometimes the update just goes through, everything works fine. And then you apply that to your live site. If you're using a generic installation of Anahita, the updates should go through fine. Still, despite that, we encourage everyone to get the backups, both code and database, just in case. Even WordPress that now have these smooth updates they send out, they still recommend you do make a backup. And I do, because one time I got burned. for a social network, data grows very quickly, so you want to have backups. And staging is a good idea. And right before you apply the updates, always make sure you get a dump from the live site, apply it to your staging site to make it identical to the live site, and then apply the updates and develop a strategy how to update your live site.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're most welcome. So I believe we reached our 1 hour pretty much on time. And did we answer all the questions?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
And
you did on my end as well, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. It was great having you, and actually, Zach, because you softened the edge a bit, and that's a good thing, because we don't want to get skewed to one way, and you ask very good questions. And it was such a pleasure to have Bob Bloom on the show, because we've been on his show so many times, and he's he's the father of podcasting in the open source world that we live in right now. And I love the distributed social networking and e-learning context discussions with Bent. Those are things that I can sit and talk about for hours. So good that you dropped by today. Thank you, Bent.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, thank you very much.
Let's get back to world liberation. Yeah. Go on.
Thank you all for letting me be here.
Oh, you're most welcome. And let's get back to world liberation plans. And we have another hangout in 2 weeks, so you guys can go and sign up. I believe one spot is already taken. And you guys have a productive and prosperous day.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.